Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. We have a guest that's making her first appearance on our program today. Excited to welcome author Suzanne DeWitt Hall to our show. She's the author of the funny new book, Rumpelpimple. We're going to talk to her not only about the journey to writing the book, but also what it's been like for her to live with the real-life Rumpelpimple and all the adventures that he has to share with her family. If you guys are just finding out about the book, I'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Suzanne, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking to you.
Hey, same here. And I want to thank you for allowing me to blurb the book. As I said, it really is a lot of fun. And when I was first reading it, when I first found out about it, I thought, wow, you know, what a great way of being able to not only show Rumpelpimple's personality, but also, of course, I think kind of remind us of the adventure that life is. And we'll talk more about that later. But what has this experience been like for you? Because writing is not new to you, Suzanne, but what does it feel like for you to have a book out there for people to be able to read and enjoy?
You know, it's really fun to see it finally come to fruition. I have some books that I either wrote or was a contributor to from a previous lifetime working in the corporate world and in technology. But to see something that's completely my creation with the help of an illustrator who took the vision and brought it to life, you know, brought it literally to visual life, is really, really satisfying. And hearing the responses that people, both adults and kids, are having to it is fun because, you know, of course, I love the story and I think it's funny, and I tried to put in things that were a little bit unusual in children's books and a twist. So to see that people are responding the way I had hoped is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me just say this. For those who have not had a chance to read the book, I think this will definitely pique your interest, because the thing that really struck me about the book, that 10 years ago, I think the family of Rumpelpimple might have been looked at differently. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're in a home with two moms and, you know, you have, you know, your sibling is a cat, hey, it seems perfectly normal in 2015 for that to be the case. I mean, was that also part of the fun for you, to be able to show a different side of family?
Yes. We thought it was a good timing. I attended a panel. It was a children's book authors and illustrator meeting, and they had a panel of librarians from schools and public libraries, and they talked about what kind of books they thought were needed, and they said two things. One was that they needed books for reluctant readers, you know, those kids who are holding out. They don't understand the value of reading. They still kind of consider it a required chore, rather than the joy that reading is for people who are able to embrace it, you know, don't have difficulties in the way. So they said they needed books for kids who were resistant to reading, and they said that they needed books with alternative family structures.
Yeah.
So because there just weren't that many out there. So we thought that it was kind of the perfect, you know, my goal is that it would be a combination of those two things. Because it has a sort of naughty humor of the way that Rumpelpimple responds to people or sisters he doesn't approve of. And you know, that kind of follows the humor of Dave Pilkey with Captain Underpants and that sort of line. But it also showed the structure that was, you know, it isn't explained, it isn't the subject of the book, it's just the family that Rumpelpimple happens to be in, which is, you know, our family.
Right, exactly. So talk to us about that, because this is a book, but it's also life for you. I mean, what was it like for you to not only take the adventures of life that you've been able to see, Suzanne, and to be able to put them in the book and to see the way the people have responded to it positively and been able to say, I can relate to these adventures in my own life?
Yeah. Well, Charlie, our dog is really named Charlie, but we called, he took on the name Rumpelpimple along the way. We're kind of nicknamed people, and that sort of evolved. And we thought that was also part of the fun for kids is, you know, they like kind of the weird, the strange, and the gross. The real Rumpelpimple, actually, what happens in the book, this is the first adventure of Rumpelpimple. There's another one in the works. But in this particular adventure, something that really happened was that my wife, Diane, took Charlie with her to go to the grocery store because he likes rides in the car. So as she when she got there, she was watching very carefully that he wouldn't get out when she got out. But he darted, and he raced across the parking lot. And he ran in through the front doors of the grocery store. The automatic doors opened, and he went in. So she quickly, you know, she followed as fast as she could, and she went in. Someone directed her down aisle 4, and eventually she found him at the meat counter. So this was something that really happened, which was funny enough on its own, but I decided that with children, and adults for that matter, and perhaps even dogs, that maybe there's more going on behind the scenes, that maybe sometimes we get in trouble for things where we actually had good intentions and that we're misunderstood because, you know, we're trying to do the right thing and we end up in trouble or people just don't get what we're trying to do. So in the book, I won't give away what happened, but Charlie actually has gone in there because someone is in trouble and he goes in to try to help. So I think that that's kind of a common theme. Like I was saying, that it's hard for people to judge things other than by what we see, but there's often more to everyone's story.
Exactly. So true, and we're going to talk more about that. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome to our program today author Suzanne DeWitt Hall. We're talking to her not only about her book, Rumpelpimple. We'll tell you how you can get that for yourself a little bit later, but also what the experience has been like for her to be able to share her love of words with the world, to share Rumpelpimple with the world, and see the way that people have responded. Now, I was saying to you before we went live here, Suzanne, and I tried to stay on top of things throughout this process of not only making sure I tag you on Facebook and Twitter, but also, of course, tag the Facebook fan page for Rumpelpimple. Did not realize, though, until the day of this conversation we're having, that Rumpelpimple also had a Twitter page. And I bring that up because, you know, it's one thing for you to be able to have this character. It's one thing for you to have the real-life dog. What has it been like for you to add the personality to social media and to be able to not only share for yourself, but also to be able to share in Rumpelpimple's voice and personality?
It's an interesting thing that the book is written in first person. So, you know, it starts out basically saying, meet my mom's. It's Rumpelpimple telling his story. So branching out into Twitter in particular, where it's kind of follows suit, just seems to make sense. And I think that particularly kids now, you know, hopefully their parents are monitoring what's happening with them on social media. And I'm not sure how likely, you know, there are kids following Rumpelpimple on Twitter because of that. But it's still to have him kind of being his own person just carries the theme forward. And one thing we found, Diane nor I, had terriers before. We've always been dog people, but we never had a terrier. And it turns out that the people who have terriers are this interesting, almost a cult following of the breeds, the various breeds, because they're interesting, they're strange, they're strong-willed. They have these characteristics that are sort of universal. And so terrier owners kind of band together online and share stories. And there's groups called Naughty Terriers. And so we thought it's kind of fun for all those people who understand what life with a terrier is like to be able to laugh along with the ongoing story. And Diane has done a ton with the online presence. She's given that she's a book social media strategist for books and authors. She's done the vast amount of the work in kind of keeping all that going. So I'm blessed to be able to hand a lot of that off to her.
Yeah, and that's Diane of I Promote Books. And it has to be great to have someone whose business is books to be able to be there to offer that support. You know, was it an easy thing for you? I was curious about this question. Was it an easy thing for you to let so much of yourself be a part of Rumpelpimple's journey, for people to be able to know more about you just by knowing his story?
You know, not really. Well, excuse me, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't easy, yes. Because, you know, I live in Mass. I'm assuming you're talking about being married to a girl. Is that primarily what you're talking about?
Well, that, and then I noticed that even in, you know, social media, you know, you're kind of able to let us take this adventure of life with you, you know, through that. And I was just curious, you know, was that something that consciously you went into it knowing that, you know, you were going to be able to open yourselves up that way to the world? Or was it something that just kind of evolved?
It probably evolved, although I think that when you're a writer, people, self-revelation is something you do every time you pick up the pen, whether you're writing, you know, I write for a local glossy regional magazine called Merrimack Valley Magazine, and, you know, I write about everything from food to craftspeople to events, all kinds of things, and even though none of those things are about me and my life, I think that as a writer, you reveal yourself.
Right.
And so in this book, it was certainly a little bit more about, you know, a little slice into one aspect of our lives. But I think you need to, readers want to know the person behind what they're reading frequently. And that requires a kind of vulnerability and an openness. So I don't think it has been hard, and I think that there's a lot about our story, my story with Diane, that's interesting and useful and of value to people because it's all love-driven, and people need to kind of hear about how love prevails, despite the difficulties of life.
Well, the other thing that I thought about with Rumpelpimple's story, as far as the book is concerned, is how easily our actions can be misunderstood. I think kids will appreciate that because I think they, like animals, they do things and they think, hey, I'm doing something good here, and you're not responding like I think you should be responding to what I'm doing for you. I felt that. As I said, I don't have any children of my own, but I do have a nephew, and I thought about that, how, you know, the puzzled look on his face when, you know, he doesn't think it's such a, you know, he doesn't see what the problem is when he does something and he's thinking it's a good thing and you don't respond that way. What was that like for you to express for kids, I think, in particular, that, you know what, sometimes, you know, though you may get the scold from your parents, you know, it's not so much about you, but maybe, you know, what you did not come across the way you wanted it to.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a, you know, I've heard of other writers of children's books, particularly middle grade, like, and, well, a little older, young adult with middle schoolers and things, the middle schooler perspective, which is older than this book, but the concept still applies, is that they're very absorbed in, we all are, in our lives, no matter what age you are, but in particularly middle school, you're very absorbed in your life, and the things that are happening to you, it's almost like your family is separate from that, and that there's these adventures that you are going on, and they're kind of external. Now, for younger kids, this book is geared more to, like, probably 5 to 10. The family is certainly much more integrated into your reality because you haven't, you know, your sense of all hasn't become quite as important to you. But there's still something about the fact that each of us is trapped in our own universe, and the people in that universe are kind of peripherally circling. And, you know, as parents or family, and you said you're an uncle, your observation of this child and your understanding of what they're doing, what they're going through, is very different than their perspective from the inside of that universe.
Right.
And so that's kind of one of the things I wanted to show in a way that hopefully the kids could understand is that they're not alone in feeling that way, that, you know, that the things that they're going, that their family is important to them and is a big part of their lives, but that there is this internal reality that, you know, that they're not the only ones who are feeling that way.
Exactly.
Just like with Charlie, with Rumpelpimple, you were mentioning that he's doing things that are not being viewed as helpful. And in these examples, he thinks he's trying to entertain them. Well, meanwhile, he's, you know, knocking over tables or jumping on the computer or, you know, whatever. He thinks they should be entertained by his actions, and they're just annoyed. And I think kids can sometimes feel that way. It's like,
right,
let me be funny. I'm going to go do this silly thing. And your parent is like, I really need to take care of this paperwork right now, buddy.
Right, right. You know, the other thing, and I think I can say this without giving anything away, Suzanne, there's also, you mentioned the grocery store, there's also the one incident, and I'll be very vague with this, where Rumpelpimple is looking out for the underdog, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a great thing for us to remember, too. Is that also one of the lessons you hope young readers are able to learn with the stories being read to them, especially why it's important for them to make sure that they don't allow people to be mistreated, and how they should do what they can to make sure people know it's not okay?
Mm. You know, it wasn't a conscious decision to have that be a message, because what I found is that sometimes adults are writing books that they think kids should read rather than writing books that kids want to read. And there's a lot of messagey books. And there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because messages do need to be conveyed for sure. But my goal was to write a book that would be sort of heroic and entertaining. So in order to have heroism, you have to have like a right and wrong situation, right? There's got to be that conflict of good versus evil, which translates to what you were saying. But it wasn't, you know, the point of the book isn't in that particular scene as much as it is in the overall concept of Rumpelpimple and his environment and how he operates.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense. And I think it's a great thing for us to be able to remember, you know, when it comes to the process, you know, of what works and what doesn't work and why we're doing what we're doing. Did this book encourage you to want to publish more, Suzanne?
Yes. Well, right from the beginning, we had thought of it as a series. For one reason, Charlie would continue to get into new adventures. And so the next one involves him ending up in jail, because one day we lived in a small town. There was a big festival going on downtown, and our neighbor ended up leaving a door open, which allowed him to get out. So when we realized he was gone, of course, we're freaking out. There's cars everywhere. There's people everywhere. We started searching for him, and eventually we decided, we realized we should call the police. So we called, and they asked that I confirm, a visual description of him, and they said, yeah, well, we might have the culprit here. So we went downtown and went into the police department, and they literally opened a cell door and let Charlie come trotting out of the cell door. So, you know, here Charlie went to jail. And so, you know, it seems like that's the perfect opportunity for another story where he does something heroic. His parents don't know why. All they know is that he ran away, he was in danger, and, you know, he ended up in jail.
Right.
That's going to be book two. And, you know, you'll have to look for it to find out what the heroism was in that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a great thing to be able to have those thoughts. And, you know, I want to say this, too, about the process, because I think there are other creatives out there that will appreciate this, Suzanne. You know, could you have imagined along this journey, and we mentioned, you know, being able to have Diane there to be able to be a support system, and then, of course, to be a part of the whole process, especially with social media. Could you have imagined, though, that you would be able to show other people just by your following this path, by your writing a book, getting it published, and now, you know, working on more, that you can show other people what's possible for them?
You know, one of the many ways that Diane has blessed me and in being my wife is that she, from the very early days of our relationship, she said, "You are supposed to dance. You are just dance." And for me, you know, she uses that as a way to describe God's gifts to you in being the person that you're supposed to be, that He designed you to be, and offering to the world those gifts, right? So she uses the word dancing for that. So she's always told me right from the beginning that she wants me to dance. And so that would definitely be the message that I would hope that other people would get and would see, that do what you love, do what you were created to be. You know, just as you, I think you're dancing here in the way that you bring all kinds of different people to the airwaves and to tell their stories. You know, you're dancing and what you were created to be. And so, yeah, I really hope that some of Diane's enthusiasm and encouragement kind of gets carried on and gets multiplied through the story of this little book coming to fruition.
Yeah, exactly. And who would have known just by being able to do what you love, to tell a story, that you would be able to do that? I love that, the metaphor of dancing. I think that's great. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, if everyone can look at their own gift and see what that is. And I think, too, you know, I think to piggyback off of that, though, this question came to mind. Do you think that has helped you to dance your own way, to be able to not worry so much about how someone is dancing next to you, but just to be able to do your path the way that you were intended to do and that you want to do?
Definitely. You know, I think that it can be a tricky thing figuring out what it is you're supposed to be when you grow up. You know, in some ways it's what did you want to be when you were a little tiny thing? Because I had a number of capabilities. I could do administrative things. I could do some technical things. I could do a lot of things, but to kind of figure out what it is that's uniquely me and that can be a unique gift to the world that makes a difference is another thing. So I think I forgot your question, actually. About other people dancing beside you. You know, I think if you're focusing on the things that give you joy and that make you feel fulfilled and that make you feel like you are contributing and creating, whatever that means to you, whatever, you know, whatever sphere that enters into, I think you're much less likely to be looking into other people's business anyway, because you're feeling good about what you're doing. You know, it's just, it's being satisfied is a good way of being a contributor to the world rather than a detractor, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that is a great thing for people to be able to remember for sure, Suzanne, and I love the fact that, you know, you're able to show it, not have to say it, but be able to show it for sure, you know. And I think, again, I hope that everyone realizes that, you know, that your gift is your gift and to be able to do it your way. And I think, you know, if you're able to do that, then great things will continue to come from it. So you mentioned the course of series. Does the response to the first book, does that make you more excited, nervous, anxious maybe about what's to come?
It does make me more excited. In fact, I have had a couple of ideas for a couple of follow-ons, but haven't developed them. And then just within the last couple of days, I jotted down most of the first draft and plotted it and did some of the writing. So I'm guessing it must be that I'm excited because it took me to that next step. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you a story. One of the most satisfying things that have happened, I've got a blog about it, but I haven't yet, mm-hmm. is that there was a nurse here who was helping us with my elderly mom as we're helping her get settled into a nursing home. And this nurse was describing having terriers herself, a different kind, and having two young sons. So we said, here, take a copy of Rumple Pimple and let us know what you think. So when she came back a day or two later, she had in her hands stapled multi-page booklet of copy paper that one of her sons had written his own book about his dog, The Adventures of Chaos, the dog's name was. And it even had a little post-it note taped onto it with a little commentary. Now, that's one of the devices we use for the illustrations, is that Rumpelpimple kind of does some asides. He makes some asides using post-it notes on the page. So the fact that this little guy had been inspired from reading it to write his own book, and even had a note on there about, you know, stay tuned for more adventures from his other dogs, that was so satisfying. We were just blown away and so thrilled that this kid had been inspired.
And I think that's the thing. You never know. You never know how someone is going to respond to something. You never know how something that you do is going to be received. And I think the important thing, I think, that everyone should take from it is just to be able to do it. I think once you do it, I think that is the main thing. It definitely will be able to find its audience. Again, everyone, I've been speaking today with Suzanne DeWitt Hall. We've been talking to her not only about her own journey as a storyteller, but what it's been like for her to share Rumpelpimple with the world. Thank you so much for the conversation, Suzanne. How can our listeners stay connected with you as well as get the book for themselves?
Well, luckily, Rumpelpimple is something that, you know, when it comes to Google, there's not a whole lot of competing competing content. So there, Rumpelpimple has a Facebook page. He's on Twitter. You can look at rumpelpimple.com, and the books are available on Amazon.
So make sure you guys are definitely staying connected with Rumpelpimple all over the place. And we've already tagged Rumpelpimple on Facebook and Twitter as well to make it very easy for you guys to find it there. So make sure you guys head over to Amazon.com also and support the book. Suzanne, congratulations again to you, and thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus, and thank you so much for writing the blurb on the back. We were thrilled with your kind comments.
Hey, glad to do it for sure. Glad to be able to share. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live for our radio audience. You all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you guys at the bottom of the hour. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.